there. This is Dr. Jolene Brighton, and today we'll be mapping post-birth control syndrome on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be talking with Dr. Jolene Brighton. Dr. Brighton is a functional medicine naturopathic doctor and the founder of Rubus Health, a root cause women's medicine clinic where she specializes in the treatment of hormone disorders, including adrenal and thyroid conditions and autoimmune disease. She is the leading expert in post-birth control syndrome and the side effects and long-term consequences associated with the use of the birth control pill, which is precisely what we'll be mapping today. Dr. Brighton is an author, speaker, certified yoga instructor, daily meditator, urban homesteader, a mother to one beautiful boy, and a dear friend of mine. So glad to have you here on the 15-Minute Matrix, Dr. Brighton. Welcome.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
So I definitely wanted to start us off by talking into just what the birth control pill is. I think we tend to ignore the fact that it's an environmental input that's impacting key biological systems. So can you just give us a sense of, like, what is the pill?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a really interesting time that we live in, that we all talk about environmental toxins and, you know, avoiding plastics. And then we kind of forget that, you know, taking a hormonal contraception, that's actually, you know, that's doing some impact. And that's right. That's an part of our environment we need to be paying attention to. So, you know, the pill is just a bolus of hormones. It's typically going to be an estrogen and progesterone combination. Now, this is not the same progesterone you make in your body, which is quite lovely. This is a synthetic progesterone. And that's where, like, the pill gets us in trouble. And, you know, some of the more notable ones with stroke and heart attack. So it's hormones. We're taking in hormones that are shutting down the way the brain is talking to the ovaries so that we don't ovulate. So it's trying to prevent ovulation. And it also alters cervical mucus and does some other things to try to prevent sperm from meeting egg. But the biggest way it works is you take this hormone, then your brain gives the negative feedback. And it basically says, hey, the brain understands there is more than enough hormone to go around. Let's not secrete FSH and LH. And those are hormones that the brain secretes, the pituitary specifically, to get the ovaries preparing that egg and ovulation. And this is how we have that whole lovely little symphony of hormones throughout the month. But when you're taking the pill, you don't have those fluctuations in hormones. And as we understand, if you don't have fluctuations in hormones, you know, we're going to be very static. But in addition to that, you know, this pill is actually inflammatory. It's known to cause leaky gut, and it definitely is going to deplete nutrients. And this is something that's been well recognized for many decades now.
Ooh, I'm going to definitely want to come back to that. First, I want to just look at, in the story section of the Functional Nutrition Matrix, in the antecedents, triggers, and mediators, you're definitely talking about some triggers, but I think as practitioners, we often see people who are coming in who have said that they're using the birth control pill as a mediator for hormonal symptoms. So can you talk to why that's happened in the past and what your opinion is about that? I think I know, but let's go there.
This is definitely when Dr. Brent wants to rant here, because here's the deal. This estimated 60% or more of us ladies are being offered these hormones for symptoms that have a root cause. And to me, when you pass a woman a pill that comes with a hefty load of side effects, and you don't even tell her about that, but you hand her this pill just to suppress symptoms, like, that is when we're going to get into really big trouble. And I think, you know, one of the best examples that we can really understand is in the case of PCOS. These are women who are adult, you know, you get the diagnosis of PCOS, and you know, if you don't get handed the pill, my jaw is dropping because it's so ubiquitous to say, okay, you don't have a regular period. Here, I'll give you the pill and then we'll regulate your cycles. And so many women have believed by taking the birth control pill, they're actually regulating their hormones. They're fixing their hormones. And what they don't realize is they're essentially masking the root cause. And, you know, in a case of PCOS, why this is just downright dangerous is PCOS is a metabolic disorder. This has to do with more insulin resistance. And these women, they're at really high risk. So they're really high risk for heart disease now and you know, other conditions like diabetes, to do things that the pill definitely contributes to. But in addition to that, if you give this woman a pill and you send her on her way, odds are she's not going to come back complaining about those symptoms. And those symptoms are actually the doctor's clue that they need to look deeper. And I'll often, you know, these women go about their way and they don't end up back in the doctor's office until that diabetes is pronounced, until they're starting to have some of these changes that are showing up in different ways. And so, you know, it's my opinion that truly, and this is, you know, I'm not the only one. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG, they've deemed the period on the menstrual cycle the fifth vital sign because it is as valuable as your blood pressure, as your pulse, as your temperature in really understanding and gauging your health. So to me, if we give a woman a pill to really suppress those symptoms, then we're missing out on some really crucial data and we're really depriving her of an opportunity to address the root cause and really take charge of her own health.
I really appreciate how you're speaking into that and the fact that signs and symptoms are clues for us when we put on our clinical detective hats. And the goal isn't just to address those signs and symptoms by suppressing them, but actually to use them as tools and keys into what's going on in the body and what we can be doing about it. And that by suppressing them, we're actually introducing a host of other potential problems downstream. So let's go ahead and move into the soup of the matter there. You talked a little bit about GI distress and immune imbalances. Can we spend a little bit more time there and talk about how the birth control pill impacts those areas of the body?
Yeah. So, you know, when we're talking about the gastrointestinal tract, there's a few things going on with the pill. So one is this inflammatory pill does lead to leaky gut. So this we understand. So we've got the leaky gut and that's one way to drive your immune system completely wild. But in addition to that, it also skews the microbiome and it does so, you know, its impact on the gut is so significant. There have been studies to show activation of autoimmune disorders, which are rooted in the gut, which are specific to the gut, I should say, because they're all kind of pretty much rooted in the gut. So we're looking at like Crohn's specifically, but also ulcerative colitis. I just had a patient in. So what's interesting is that the studies have shown that, you know, after about 5 years on the pill, you're at a 300% increased risk of developing Crohn's disease if you've got the genes for it. And so that's pretty significant. And I just had this patient who came in. We just had her follow-up visit. So she's been seeing me for about 9 months now. And when we went through her history, she had begun the birth control pill. She had been diagnosed with IBS 2 years later. She continued to have a progression of gastrointestinal symptoms. And at 5 years was when she got diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And that I was like, and she was like, my gastroenterologist said, there's nothing like this that's ever, you know, he's never seen it and it couldn't be linked to the pill. And I was like, girl, you are like the exact study, like what
the poster child here.
And so I would like to also, you know, have people understand the gastrointestinal tract. The other way the pill is affecting it isn't just what's happening in the intestines, but who is going to detox all that estrogen?
I was going to ask you about that.
Absolutely. And so, you know, getting liver tumors is something that's very well documented with the pill because the pill has a really big impact on the liver. And that organ, I mean, my goodness, that organ is getting impacted so many ways from nutrient depletions and the inflammation and having to detox that estrogen out. But, you know, in addition to that, there's an effect on the gallbladder. So your gallbladder is involved in helping you detoxify these hormones as well. And so, you know, as we see in cases of estrogen dominance, those women are at higher risk of having gallbladder disease and having that, they're having to eventually have their gallbladder removed. And so that's another consideration, you know, in all of this, is that if it's affecting not only how you are absorbing your nutrients, but it's going in, you know, upstream in terms of actually affecting digestive enzymes and affecting your gallbladder, you know, that's a really big impact. It's already depleting nutrients. Now it's blocking you from actually being able to get them in.
What is that trigger in relation to the increased risk between taking the birth control pill and that the rates of IBD? Is that due to the hormonal factors, due to the synthetic factors, due to its impact on the microbial terrain, or all of the above?
Oh yeah, really all of the above. So, and here's the thing, it's, I've seen it enough clinically, and I would like to see more studies on this. Nobody's really looking at in detail, who gets autoimmune disease, us ladies, right? Who takes the pill, us ladies. We should be looking at that. So this is, you know, these are very early studies taking a look at, you know, what's happening with Crohn's disease. And so there have been other studies looking at things like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, because we know those activate typically during pregnancy when hormones go really high. That can be a trigger. And so the birth control pill, it's hypothesized to be a trigger for these things as well. But if you think about it, I mean, what's really like the recipe for, you know, autoimmune disease, but having that leaky gut,
right?
And that the pill is definitely going to do, having a triggering event, that might be taking the pill, that might be the shift to the microbiome that it's causing. You know, there can be, you know, several ways that that is really coming in, and then you just have to have the genes for it. And so, you know, as clinicians, the very minimum we need to do is ask about family history. And if there's a family history of autoimmune disease, you know, you may want to think twice before you put that woman on the pill. And if she's on the pill coming into you, you start testing for those things. You start looking for it because you want to know you're doing your best to keep her safe.
Yeah. So what about pregnancy and fertility? Are you seeing that people who have been on the pill, and at some point I want to talk about short-term versus long-term as well, but are you seeing women have issues with fertility or further issues in perimenopause and menopause if they've been long-term pill users?
So it definitely depends on like why a woman got on the pill in the first place in terms of like what we see with the perimenopause. You know, when you get into the research studies, they show really favorable things in terms of fertility. But when you start digging deeper, you can see that, you know, there is a percentage of women that take on average a year to 2 years to become pregnant. So there's something going on there. You know, I think even more so in my practice, I really advise against getting pregnant right away. Instead, we want to build up nutrient stores again. We want to undo everything that pill has done, especially when we start thinking about passing microbiome onto baby. I want a really good microbiome. You know, so that's one piece. And, you know, as we're talking about the fertility, pregnancy, and all the hormones, you know, it's really important to understand that if you've been muting how your brain has been talking to your ovaries, it can take some time for that to come back. And I think, you know, the most challenging fertility cases that I see are the women who had irregular periods and were just put on the pill like from day one. So, you know, these are girls who were put on the pill 11 years old, 14 years old, somewhere in that range. And so when their body was just waking up, like their whole, you know, maturation process just got disrupted because you muted how the brain was talking to the ovaries. And, you know, some of these women, perhaps it was a PCOS. I've certainly seen women with regular periods who were put on the pill for things like acne,
right,
who after coming off the pill don't have a period, or it becomes really irregular, or they're starting to, you know, manifest symptoms that are looking like other hormonal imbalances. And in their history, they never report these things prior to the pill.
You know, it's really interesting just if we think through a functional lens about what the word really means, the term functional, you know, how do we bring the body into its optimal function? And what the pill does is take the body out of its normal, optimal function. And so it's undeniable that there would be an impact on the full body systems. What about the mind, spirit, emotional component? Is there a kind of mental health piece that you see arising in your practice with people who have been on the pill for long term?
Oh, definitely. So, you know, the birth control pill, as we were talking about, it's disrupting some really key nutrients, but there's also been some studies coming out showing that it's actually disrupting our neurotransmitters. And instead of making like lovely, wonderful neurotransmitters, we start making more neurotoxins in the brain. And so, you know, we are very early in our understanding of, you know, what's been going on here with mental health. So often, you know, I know when I was on the pill early on, I was on a pill that I joke sometimes, I don't think I even got out of the shower. I was crying for like a week straight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really messed with my mood. My doctor was like, oh, I don't think it's the pill, but let's switch it. And then things got better. So, you know, we've known that women since the day the pill was introduced have been complaining about depression and anxiety and mood related disorders. And for a very long time, the narrative has been, no, it's not the pill. It's just you. It's just right. You. Something's wrong with you. And now we're seeing, I mean, we've seen, you know, just a few years ago, a study of over 1 million women showing that there is absolutely a correlation. Now, what I think is really interesting is after that study, we're seeing more studies come out getting really into the mechanisms of how is this happening. And so, you know, we know that we can bring in amino acids, we can bring in B vitamins to support women and do anti-inflammatory if they do need to be on the pill. So that's the thing we also have to acknowledge is that, hey, some of us need to be taking some kind of hormones to really protect ourselves from getting pregnant. Now, if we all knew we could only get pregnant max 6 days out of the month, I'm not sure we would all sign up for that. But,
right.
You know, as a gal who did 10 years on the pill and you know, put herself through medical school, I can definitely say, oh, that pill helped me out in terms of my career and where I'm at today. And so, you know, I always like to just acknowledge that, you know, there are things that we can do to support women if they're not ready to come off the pill. But certainly if you're somebody who is struggling with, you know, debilitating mood or ever since you started the pill, or IUDs, we see this with those as well. You know, you've been experiencing mood symptoms. It's a good idea to reevaluate that and to consider coming off because, you know, I've had multiple patients come in that, you know, their main complaint is they started the pill and their mood had never come back. They stopped the pill and it didn't just change. And, you know, they had hoped that, okay, well, I was feeling depressed on the pill. If I come off, like everything's going to get better. But, you know, the pill is affecting a lot of systems here. And so typically, you know, when I'm working with a woman, we've got to address all of those symptoms. And I'll tell you, like, you know, as any woman with anxiety or depression, these mood disorders, you know, if those start cropping up, it's going to be a whole lot harder to care for yourself. And that's where we really can get into a slippery slope is that, you know, anyone who's depressed isn't really motivated to eat their leafy green vegetables or right. to go exercise, although it's like the best things they could be doing. You know, that mind, body, spirit component has a lot of influence into how we actually leverage our lifestyle medicine.
Absolutely. And I couldn't let you go without talking a little bit more about those key nutrients, because this is the Functional Nutrition Matrix. And you mentioned enzymes, you mentioned B vitamins. What other deficiencies are we inducing when we bring in the pill?
Yeah. So B vitamins, definitely. Minerals like magnesium and zinc. So, you know, especially when we start talking about like feeling anxious or right. having hormonal imbalance, I'm like, we really
and
need
and detoxification
these.
Issues and immune right? issues. Right.
So, yeah. You know, one big, really big concern is that it depletes selenium, vitamin C, vitamin E. Now we're talking about antioxidant support. This is something where I'm like, if you've got thyroid right. issues going on, like this is not your friend. So, you know, and if you think about like, if you're depleting selenium, then we've got a big problem when it comes to glutathione. And, you know, it's something I don't think it's enough attention that as women, if we want to protect our ovaries, and that is not just about getting pregnant, but that's just about having a wonderful, rich life that these hormones can provide you because they really can, we've got to be getting those antioxidants in. And so, you know, if you've got a pill that's creating inflammation at the same time as taking away your body's own ability to protect itself, like that's a big problem.
So final question, Dr. Brighton, I just want to talk in terms of the triggering events, short-term versus long-term. You talked about these girls getting on the pill from a really early age. Are you seeing more increased problems when people are coming to you that have been on the pill for decades versus, you know, being able to get somebody off of it that's maybe been on it for a year or two?
Yeah. So if you've been on the pill for decades and you're wanting to come off, you know, you might be in your later 30s, but a lot of, you know, what I see for women who are long-term, they're usually heading towards their perimenopausal years. So, and that's just like when we're talking really long-term pill use, because there are women who've come into my practice like 25 years on the pill, which is, you know, that makes me uncomfortable as a doctor. I'm like, that's a really long time to have all those hormones. So, part of why that's so problematic is because you've had your body, so there's the hormone muted, there's also the issue of the inflammation that's been pulling on other systems, and then the nutrient depletion taking place. But when we get into perimenopause, it's not about our ovaries anymore. Now we're going to start leaning on our adrenal glands, and we haven't even gotten into how the pill can totally wreck your adrenal glands. And so that's where things can become really problematic, is because not only did you mute what the ovaries could do for you, but then when you go and when you're making that transition, it's really adrenal glands and liver. If you can keep those guys really healthy, and of course your gut just has got to be in that mix too, that makes transitioning from perimenopause and into menopause so much smoother. But for these women who've been on the pill long term, one, they've had no opportunity to identify if there were hormonal issues starting to come up for them. And then at the same time, their systems that would have had their back, so to speak, they've been depleted as well. And so it does make the transition so much harder.
Well, I have to say, I'm feeling like I need to give myself a good pat on the back, because I was never on birth control pill and I sailed through those stages in life. So I'm going to give myself a high five and, of course, give you a super big hug, Dr. Brighton. Thank you so much for sharing your passion and wisdom with us today.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me and, you know, getting this topic out there. And I'm just a really big fan of the Functional Nutrition Matrix. So thank you again. It's been an honor to be here.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. That's 15minutematrix.com/notify. You have an open invitation to email us or meow at us, as my cat is doing in the background. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can always email us at ask@15minutematrix.com. And before you go, please know that if you want to become a master practitioner in the science and art of the functional nutrition practice, that the doors to the Functional Nutrition Lab Full Body Systems 10-month training are still open, but only for a short time. You can learn more and enroll at fullbodysystems.com.
Woot woot.
Awesome.
Cool.
We made our way around the matrix.
That was super. I'm like, whoa, we just rapid fired that. Yeah. That was awesome.